And Kenichi, you're still up.
The next issue is whether entity should recognize deferred tax assets for the market value uplifts that will be allowed under the same tax regime. The submitter states that there are three alternative views for the accounting for the market value uplifts. View one is to account for the market value uplift as adjustments to the tax base of the mining assets and would recognize the deferred tax asset to the extent they meet the recognition criteria. And view two is to account for the entire allowance as tax holiday, under which lower or nil tax rates would be applied. And view three is to apply initial recognition exception in paragraph 24 of S12 to the market value uplift by analogy, and would not recognize deferred tax asset as an exception. As discussed in the staff analysis in Agenda Paper 9, we think that view 1 is appropriate for this issue because the market value uplift meets the definition of tax base under IS-12. So entities should recognize the deferred tax asset to the extent it meets the recognition criteria in IS-12. In our outreach activity to date, we received two cases that might be relevant to this issue. In the first case, the effect of tax devaluations accounted for by applying 625. And on the other hand, in the second case, the effect of the tax devaluations accounted for by applying IS-12. However, staff thinks that this fact does not indicate there's divergence in applying standards. Applying 625 requires judgment of entity, and it depends on the facts and circumstances around the entity. So in our view, underlying principle for the accounting for the tax devaluation is sufficiently clear. So this our view is supported by the fact that both cases are accounted for in the same manner. So we don't expect significant divergence to arise in the future. So my question is, do you agree with the staff recommendation? And if so, do you agree with the proposed rejection wording illustrated in Appendix A to Agenda Paper 9A?
This is another one I'm missing for some reason.
Comments? Peter and Ruth?
I totally agree with the proposal. I think the standard is crystal clear here, so I agree with the rejection and also the rejection wording.
Ruth?
Agree. I just wanted to add as well that, and I know in your outreach you got some information, was it from the Netherlands as well, where they had a similar situation which was treated as a deferred tax? Also, my memory is that on the introduction of the capital gains tax in Australia, they allowed a market value uplift as well, same as this, and it was treated as deferred tax as the tax base. So it would be consistent with what they've already done for similar uplifts.
Joanna?
Again, I agree with the staff analysis. I do have some slightly more substantive comments on the proposed wording, in that I do wonder, and perhaps again open for discussion in terms of elongated rejections, as to whether we in fact need to talk about the three views that we considered, because some could argue that there are other views, and quite frankly I would remove that bit that say we considered those views and the bit about why we rejected view two, and add some more about why we think the answer is what the answer is, if you see what I mean. So that the one, two, three, fourth paragraph, add something to the beginning of that, but remove the last bit that says we didn't like view two, and remove the bit about the different views.
Cass?
Well, I agree with the staff recommendation and the analysis. I'm aware that some trading companies who's expecting that fiscal year end is coming March, has a practical challenge, which is how we estimate that huge tax assets. But that's an operational issue. But as long as technical perspective is For us, it's crystal clear, so I think the consequences should be the same.
Scott?
I also agree with the conclusion. I'm okay with the rejection wording as is, although rather than saying that we considered three alternative views, I might prefer that the committee was informed of three alternative views. We didn't really come up with the views. They were given to us. But Joanna's suggestion to take out those views, I can deal with that as well. We don't typically in rejection notices talk about all the other views that there might have been.
I think we'll take that point on board. We are writing a conclusion, not a basis for conclusions. Laurence?
I'm fully in agreement with the staff analysis. What I've heard is, though, we need to clarify that the MRRT is considered to be within the scope of IS-12. It is an assumption that it is in the scope of IS-12. As for myself, I'm convinced that it is in the scope of IS-12, but as this issue has not been put forward to the committee, we have clarified that assumption.
Okay, taking on board then the suggestion that we pretty much remove that middle bit and the language that refers to other approaches and just focus on our conclusion. Any objections to the proposed agenda rejection notices? Okay, none appearing. Thank you.